This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, Agenda Free Friday continues, driven by our friends at the Bernardi Auto Group. Right to the phones as promised. Ryan and Bill Ricker, what do you got for me on the B's?
Yeah, so that 5-on-5 offense freaking blows, okay? So they need something. And when people say they don't want to trade for Crosby, I mean, they need something. I mean, they can't score a goal 5-on-5. They're not going to win a cup. Every day I wake up on game day and hope they score a 5-on-5 goal, and I go to bed disappointed every night because they don't do it. So I'm pissed, and they need to do something.
I'm with you, babe. You know, I think their record is not a little fool's gold, but substantially fool's gold. They pulled a bunch of games out of their ass early in the season. They pulled out a bunch of games purely on power play goals, purely on late power play goals that just are not going to come in the postseason. I am sorry. They are a below par 5-on-5 team. They're in the bottom half of the league 5-on-5. I don't think you can live that way. And they are not a true, I mean, I think they have a chance to win a cup just because they're good enough. And if their goalie gets hot and they catch some breaks and get hot, like, it's possible. I'm not telling you there's no way they could win a cup. I just don't let me put it to you like this. I don't consider them a cup contender on talent alone. Like, I don't consider them one of the best teams in the league. And when I say one of the best, I'm talking the top 3-4 teams in the league. I don't. I think they're in that second tier, which means, you know, you can still win from the second tier, but that's what it would take. And, boy, last night was jarring to see how they played last night coming off of all
brutal.
That rest. Did you have a thought on it, Maz?
Yeah, I just had brutal. As bad a game as I've seen him play in a long, long time. And I'll tell you what, there was something about it yesterday. I was on the way in when I heard Hardy doing headlines on the midday show. And he said, you know, Grizzlick's out. Kevin Miller was iffy. He ended up playing. And what's the other one? Zboril was out. And I went, something about this doesn't feel right. Like, I felt the Bruins were due for a skid. And so, and then last night, I totally lived up to it. That thing was a complete wet fart.
Oh, Chad in Salem on the Patriots. Hi, Chad.
Hey, guys. So, yeah, I'm a Steelers fan, but hear me out real quick. I think that if Ben Roethlisberger went to the Patriots, he would do much better than he did with the Steelers last year, because you guys would be able to put a run game in front of him. And the thing I wanted to ask you guys is, if you got Ben Roethlisberger and he was able to convince Juju to come with him, would you take a receiver like Juju Smith?
Oh, I don't know, Chad. I don't know.
I mean, I would take him on his own. Juju Smith-Schuster, not Roethlisberger. I'm a hard no.
I like Juju.
Do you?
Yeah.
Freaking clown. Didn't he spend half his season dancing before games and, like, taunting? Like, what did he do this year? I pay so little attention to it because the, you know, wide receiver histrionics I've got zero use for. But wasn't he one of these guys?
I think he talked some crap to Cleveland before that playoff game, but anything beyond that, I don't know. He doesn't strike
me. Didn't he do a weekly thing where he would shake his ass on the opposing logo or something and tweet it, of course, or something? What, didn't he do something like this? I thought you would know this crap, Murray.
I don't. No, I can't speak to that. I like him, so maybe I'm biased, so maybe I stuck my head in the sand with this.
Yeah, I also think that with him, there was, you know, he didn't have quite the productive year that he's had in some other years, and with Claypool and Johnson sort of emerging, like, I feel like his stock dropped a little. I feel like he'd be a good Patriot and a good target for them.
I don't know. I feel like those guys I'd rather have. They're not my kind of receiver. Pain in the ass, you know, make a lot of nonsense receiver who you can shut down by punching in the mouth. Like, I don't know. It feels to me like he's that guy. Matt in New Bedford on the B's. Go ahead, Matt.
All right, so this last night's game, I mean, it sucked like a Brazzers deep-throating video. Their effort was terrible, and I was just so sick of it. Bergeron had another bad giveaway at the goddamn blue line. I mean, I wanted to.
Matt, I'm going to let you go. You just can't.
Working a little too blue.
Seriously.
I just don't know how they have all that time off. And, like, I know it's a cliche, but they were literally skating in sand. They couldn't handle the puck. They couldn't complete a pass. It was just, like, what was wrong with them? Like, there was something, like, did they all start sucking on nitrous before the game or something? It was really, like, that bad. And then they kind of snapped out of it, of course, for a few minutes there in the third period. But by that time, it's too late. So, like, last night, hopefully, is just sort of the one-off. But I'm telling you, they have depth problems as it is, and five-on-five scoring issues as it is. If Krejci's out and they're going to rely more on Charlie Coyle, who, I'm sorry, right now is a complete basket case, they are in deep trouble if that's the case. I am sorry. David New Bedford has a thought. Go ahead, David. David! Okay, babe, you can call us back. You obviously know the number.
Yeah, David, here I am.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I was wondering what your thoughts are.
Now we're all messed up on the phones. Sorry. Call us back, Dave. I'll pop you right up if you get through. My bad. Mary in Manchester, you're up next on the Patriots quarterback situation. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. So I know that the transition didn't happen the way Belichick had wanted it because he identified Garoppolo. He loved him. He wanted him to be the successor. But, you know, I feel like he's had 4 years to get over it, and he really hasn't done anything in the last 4 years. So I feel like our best bet is to actually get someone in the draft because I don't know how many more years Belichick has ahead of him, and I would like him to use all his energy and efforts to basically develop a fresh face instead of rehabilitating an old one.
Preach, okay. Mary, preach.
I mean, I'm with you. It's just, do you have to draft him up high to have that guy? I mean, like, everyone agrees. And Mary, thanks for the call. Jimmy, if you could drop him, I'm all jammed up here. Does it have to be drafted up high?
Well, it's got to be in the first couple of rounds because anything beyond the first two rounds or even three, if you want to go that far, is basically like hitting a scratch ticket like Brady.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Is Dak Prescott a scratch ticket? Wasn't he a third-round pick?
Fourth.
And Russell Wilson was a third.
Third.
Correct. But look, we've done the math on this, Mike. Most of the quarterbacks come in the first two rounds. Most of them come in the first 40 picks, all of which is fine. Like, look, you want to tell me you don't want to take one to the middle rounds. I'm all right with that, you know, whatever. But the part I disagree with, as you said earlier, you know, if you go and sign a guy, don't even take a quarterback this year if you don't want one. Well, how many years are they going to keep putting this off? They didn't take one last year. They took Etling the first year. That was a seventh rounder. Stidham was a fourth. Like, you got to throw some resources at this, whether it's short term or long. Like, and in Belichick's case, what I am worried about a little bit is this idea that, well, Bill, let's just say Bill has 4 years left. Okay. Well, you're going to have to spend probably one or two developing the quarterback. So the longer you put this off, the more of a problem it becomes. I just think they've already dragged their feet on it.
I just think this trading up in the first round is so overrated. It's just, I mean, you have to have a quarterback. Like, I don't disagree with that. It's just the trading up in the first round. I mean, an emailer sent me an email. Field Yates tweeted something out. Do you know that zero first-round quarterbacks drafted from 2009 to 2016? Again, 2016, so we're not including, you know, Mahomes and Josh Allen and that group. Just before that, from 2009 to 2016, seven drafts, zero first-round quarterbacks are with their original team. They all flamed out. And, you know, and all these guys that you want to trade up for or tank Murray to be at, you hate all these guys who've been drafted here. You hate Carson Wentz, and you hate Jared Goff, and you hate Mitch Trubisky, and you hate those guys. Those are all quarterbacks that are drafted up high, traded up for in the first round. You hate them all.
Yeah.
So, what, I don't understand why you're so horny to do that.
Well, you got to keep taking your chances, and I find it convenient that we stopped that list when it's 2016. You know, like, again, some of these guys aren't going to pan out, but after that, some of those guys panned out. You have better chances of hitting one of these guys in the first couple of rounds.
Probably. I mean, I don't know. It feels to me like I'm not going to argue that you need an elite quarterback. That's what I want. I guess I would just dispute that you have to go up into the top 10 or purposely lose games to be up in the top 10 to get that guy. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Sam Darnold is about to be traded. And Baker Mayfield. Do you like Baker Mayfield, Murray? You don't even, do you?
No, I do. That's a guy I'd trade Belichick for.
Okay. So, there's just a million guys. There's way more fails than hits. When you talk about guys drafted up in the first round, certainly traded up in the first round. So, like, we can go back and forth with that. Here's Jim in the truck for Maz on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, what's going on? So I know that the Red Sox rotation is definitely a big question mark. Rick Porcello, I know as of a couple of days ago, was still a free agent. Why wouldn't the Red Sox try him out? I mean, he's pretty cheap, and I'm not saying he's going to win another Cy Young, but you know he worked out in Boston. He's a competitor. He's a horse. What are your thoughts? Why not?
Okay, Maz. Porcello.
Yeah, look, I'm open to anyone that's still out there. And in fact, if you've been reading the last couple of days, there's still some pitching out there. Jake Odorizzi's still out there. The Red Sox were in on him earlier. I wouldn't rule anything out. I think if a guy comes along at the right price, maybe you throw him into the mix. They could use more pitching depth there as far as the rotation goes. But I think it's pretty clear what direction they're going, which is to say you're going to get, you know, a lot of 4 or 5 inning guys and then a lot of bullpen games. And at this stage, I don't want to see them bring in a veteran at the expense of someone like, you know, Tanner Houck. And I don't know if Houck can make it or not. But at this stage, given what the Red Sox are trying to do, they got to commit the time to see if a guy like Houck can pitch or he can't.
I don't know if I could name more than three in that rotation. I swear to God. Like, so Rodriguez, he's healthy. He's back. They do still have Evaldi, right?
Yes.
And Garrett Richards?
They do. Martin Perez.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. They brought him back.
Yeah. Nick Pivetta from last year. Tanner Houck from last year. Oh. So, look, yeah, they're a little deeper than they were, Murray. They're not a lot deeper. There's no real high-end talent in there. And so, again, what it's going to come down to is trying to get 5 innings out of their rotation, 3 trips through the lineup or 2 trips through, and then they're going to start going to the bullpen. And well, you're going to see a lot of platooning, a lot of analytics.
Did I read that you have a 14-man bullpen, 14-man pitching staff?
So I think the last I read, Mike, they were going to expand rosters again because of COVID. So it's not going to be quite as big as last year. But I would guess that you're going to see the extra guy on the pitching staff.
I read somewhere they're going to go 14, 15 guys on the pitching staff, which is they are going to nerd out like you read about.
Big
unfortunately,
time.
I mean that's going to be it. So we talk about the rotation. It's less important. It's less important. And, you know, their fifth starter is going to be the bullpen. You know, they're going to have a one of those opener days. And maybe they go six-man and one of those is an opener day. The nerd has to let his thing out. The nerd has to nerd out. So there's going to be at least one or two games a week where it's all just a computer printout with the matchups and the arm slot versus the launch angle. And that's what at least one or two games a week is going to be. It doesn't matter who their starters are. Mike in South Boston on the Bs. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I was down in Florida last week and went to a real NHL game in Sunrise last Saturday. So it's just time to bet every arena should go to 25%, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, hopefully we're getting there. And I'll tell you what, for those Florida Panther games, the 25% capacity felt like probably just a normal game. Like, that's what it's like down there. No difference. Freaking 4 toothless goobers in the upper row, in the upper decks, and that's it.
I got a buddy of mine going to a Pelicans game this weekend. I think it's the Celtics game on Sunday because he's down there. And I'm like, oh, God, I forget what it's like to even go to games. And they're opening them in New York, too, right? In like a week?
So it's coming. It's coming. Hopefully, Brennan in Toronto. What do you got on the Pats?
Hey, guys, we got to end the quarterback speculation right now. Bill is committing to Cam next season. With Brady winning, he's more senile than ever, more committed than ever to proving that the quarterback doesn't matter. He's just another guy in the system. And it's going to be Cam Newton next year. I mean, he's not going to commit to one of these flashy guys.
We all fear it. I don't think he's going to commit to a flashy guy either. Is Marcus Mariota flashy? Is Jimmy Garoppolo flashy? Is Mitch Trubisky flashy? No.
There's an easier sell with Garoppolo, though. I think if he was brought back, fans can say, like, okay, he was here, he was in the system, Bill drafted him, Bill loves him, he can try to rehabilitate him. Like, of those guys, of all these trash rehabilitated veteran quarterbacks, Garoppolo's the easiest sell for the fan base.
No question. Yeah, no question. And Mikey, none of them are flashy. But go back to, and this is a small thing to cling on to if you're a Patriots follower or fan. But go back to those, you know, the game and a half that he played when he was here. It looked pretty good. I mean, there was some, you know, there was some buzz there. And so he would be easier to sell, no question about it.
Yeah, get on that, Maz. You should mention that every once in a while. I don't know why.
Yeah,
you know,
no, I agree.
Why you don't bring that up.
Yeah, every once in a while.
Okay, coming up next, the Brooklyn Nets and the nature of building an NBA champion in today's game. Right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter @Felger and Maz.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lanes, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline, ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Felger and Mass.
I'm just going to ramble and rant for 15 minutes if you let me. I'm not joking.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's just start with the net side of this. They do this without Kevin Durant. I just mentioned they're 10-1 against teams with winning records. They've put it together. Are they clearly the team to beat in the Eastern Conference now?
Yeah, they've turned into that over the last couple of weeks. I think this West Coast trip really pointed it out to me, because when you look now at the way that they are playing offensively, because we saw great shot making, but that wasn't going to get it done out of these big three. You need inclusion amongst your roster. They're getting that now. You look at the numbers from this trip. They made 81 threes in their last four games, and they shot 49% from the three-point line in doing it. If they're going to now move the basketball, make the extra pass, do things more decisively, play off the dribble a little bit less, if they do those things and these role players are teeing up these open shots and now shooting them with confidence, there is just no way to slow this team down. So that's, to me, the biggest takeaway with what I've seen out of the Nets. This is a team now that is understanding flow to offense, and they're also caring a little bit more on the other end of the floor. They're flying to the ball a little bit better. The effort is better. They're not leaving guys out to dry on dribble penetration. And as a result, the activity is creating even more opportunities in the open floor. So for me, absolutely, over the last couple of weeks, they have risen to the cream of the crop in the Eastern Conference, because I think those other teams still have some flaws. Philly, Milwaukee, Indiana, Miami, whoever you throw into the mix, this team is on a different level than them when they're playing like this offensively.
That's Tim Legler on ESPN. And notice when he mentioned Brooklyn just being ahead of the field in the Eastern Conference, you don't even make the list of also-rans. He neglected to even put you on the list with Milwaukee, Philly, Miami, and whatnot. And I think he's right. And you gotta acknowledge what's going on there in Brooklyn. And I wasn't sure it was going to happen either. I was fascinated to see how it all worked out. But, you know who has shown up there, Maz, and actually instilled, it feels like, some culture and some competitiveness on that team? You know who?
I know who you're going to say.
Fatso.
Yeah.
Harden. Harden is a guy that has gotten there. He's played just about every game. I think he's missed one game since he's been there. But otherwise, while Irving is always taking a day off here or there, and Durant can't seem to stay on the floor either, Harden's out there every night. Last night in L.A. at the Lakers, he's 38 minutes, 23 points, which for him is just a sort of working man's night, with 11 assists. And he's 7 for 15 from the floor, so he's efficient. It's not like he's chucking up a million shots. He and Kyrie feel like they're even getting along. I was reading something the other day about how they sort of had a talk, and Kyrie said, "You're the point guard. You get the right ball. And I'm going to play off the ball, and you do your thing." And, like, he's even sort of, I don't know if it's Harden's responsible for this or it's just sort of falling into place, but I feel like Kyrie is sort of bought in. Like, I still think Kyrie is always, you know, this side of a mental health day and taking a 2-week vacation. I'm not, you know, telling you like he's like on planet Earth all of a sudden. But he shows up last night, and Irving has 16 points, 5 assists. He's just sort of not – he doesn't need to take over. Only 17 shots. They spread the load to all those guys. They let Harris do his shooting. You know, it's like they've kind of come together. And I just think you got to rethink about how you build champions in the NBA and what it takes. And you had a take on this the other day, Maz, and I think it all ties in. What is it?
Okay, so I said the other day that if you look at the Celtics plan here at the beginning, it was we're going to draft a couple of kids high in the lottery, we're going to bring in some veteran guys, and then we're going to combine the two, and that'll give us an extended run. So those guys are role players when guys like Kyrie and Horford and Hayward are lead characters. And then as those guys graduate and move on, then Tatum and Brown are ready to take over, and you start all over again, and you win yourself, who knows, as Jaylen Brown would say, 5, 6, however many championships. And it sounds good, and I know there were extenuating circumstances with the Celtics. I just don't know if it can really work, because I don't know that those people are ever fully on the same page. So think of the disconnect that existed between Kyrie and the young players when they were here. It didn't work. And if you look at all the champions that have had sustained runs, at least, you know, during our lifetimes, call it, they're all franchises that drafted all-time greats and then held on to them. So again, Bird, Magic, Michael Jordan, Tim Duncan, those are all the basic dynasties that have existed in basketball here now over the last 40 years. And they all got among the 5 or 10 greatest players of all time in the draft and then held on to them. If you don't get that, how are you going to do it?
To me, it feels like you've got to go all in. You've got to go all in when you can, and that's it. You've got, when you have the chance to put together the two or three guys, you've got to put them together.
Exactly.
If you just sort of wait, you know, unless you've drafted Magic Johnson, if you're just sitting there waiting for your draft pick to become that guy, it probably ain't going to work. It's probably not going to work. He's going to want to leave and pair up with someone else and go somewhere else. Or if you bring someone in, at, you know, I mean, I guess that does work, but you got to bring them in at just the right time where the two are compatible. They're not competitors, or, you know, that mix you were talking about. You're bringing in Kyrie Irving before Tatum and Brown have their contracts, have established themselves, and so there's a tug and a pull. They're in different places of their career. For a veteran, it's all about winning because they've made their money. For a guy like Brown and Tatum, for a young NBA player, the most important thing for a young NBA player is their stupid brand. I mean, we just got to accept this now. Like, then that means money, but it's really bigger than this now. It's their brand, their individual brand. That is what, for a young NBA player, is the single most important thing. I think it's abhorrent. I can't stand it. Like, I could give two poops about your freaking sneakers. Like, the whole sneaker culture and the, like, I can't stand it. But it is what it is, right? So for these young guys, it's all about the brand and building their brand and becoming an NBA All-Star and that max contract. And then when they get older, they worry about winning. So if you put that guy who's just about winning with the young kid that hasn't made it yet, well, we saw how that worked here. That really wasn't happening.
Exactly.
And so is it, you know, you look at the Nets, who you have mocked at every turn. At every turn, from what Danny Ainge did to him on the Garnett trade to signing Kyrie Irving and trading for James Harden and all of that. And right now, they're the class of the league, just about an NBA favorite, co-favorite, one of those teams. They're there. And you are taking a step back and have to go into kind of a rebuild. Don't you rethink what you have to do? And this whole thing, man, is about this long, slow build. I mean, does it even exist in the league anymore?
I don't know. And this is the part that would look, even with LeBron, it didn't really exist. And like, you know, again, LeBron James went to Cleveland, didn't win. So what did he do? Became a free agent, went to Miami, loaded up, won there. Went back to Cleveland where they had the number one pick, and he won a championship there. But now he's on to L.A. Like, it's just lily pad to lily pad, and you get these little 3-5-year windows where you can win. And look, you know, at the time, I love the idea of something sustainable. I love the concept. I just don't know whether it can really work in the modern NBA where superstars decide they're going to change places every 4 years, which, again, I suppose makes it entertaining on some level. But if you're the guy in charge of building the team, how do you fight that? Like, you can't do it, which is part of the reason why I said to you yesterday, if you're the Celtics, you know what the best plan might be at this stage? the best plan might be to try to get into the offseason, throw everything you have together along with like eight first round picks. Okay. And I'm not telling you that they're all worth, I'm just saying, and you send it all to Minnesota and get Karl Anthony Towns. And now you say, okay, now we get three guys and we're going to fill in with some basic free agents and try to go from there. How is that any different really than what Brooklyn just did?
It's not. It's what it is, and it's what you have to do. I mean, Danny Ainge hoarding those draft picks for what? I mean, it's for, you know, long-term sustainability and building young and all of that. I mean, but what does that – it doesn't get you championships. It feels like all these teams, it is just that, you know, getting those two, three guys together, bam, and maximize and going for it right then and there. Those are the teams that win. The only team that has won the championship and that I can remember in recent memory through the draft was the first Warriors team. That first one, okay? Of their three championships, it was the first, you know, but they lost the next time they went to the finals to a LeBron team that was patched together, you know, for all intents and purposes. And the second Warriors team, I don't want to hear about it. That was about Durant joining that team and doing that super team thing we were talking about. So before that, you know, the Heat teams were put together by LeBron. When he went back to Cleveland, you just mentioned it. Kyrie was there, and then they traded for Love, and that was, you know, like, so before that, what was the last team to, quote-unquote, that one Warriors team? Give me another example. I mean, you got to go back to, like, the Pistons years or the San Antonio years with Duncan and Kawhi. I mean, we're going back over a decade now. I mean, I don't...
Well over a decade. The player movement won't allow it now. And look, you tried here. It just didn't work. Kyrie turned out to be an a-hole, and, you know, what, 60 seconds into his career here, Gordon Hayward snapped his ankle in half, and that was it. Like, they tried. They had their window. They blew it.
I mean, look, unless they somehow end up building this thing around Tatum and Brown, and then, you know, it lasts for 10 years, and then we go, oh, well, look at that. It actually happened. But the right answer is San Antonio. San Antonio is the last team that pulled it off. Just look at the last few champions. As you were saying, Lakers, LeBron and Anthony Davis, you know, they just got there. Toronto, Kawhi went up there. They won there. Golden State, Durant went in. They won two. You know, even the Cleveland title, it was after LeBron came back via free agency. Yeah,
and all of it. They traded for Kevin Love as the third piece, right? Didn't they trade their number one pick?
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. Yep, that's how, when our hosts aren't listening, so there you go.
No, it's like, okay, but that's it. So this plan of Ainge and the Celtics, on paper, it seems nice. It seems like something you could do in our childhood. I don't know if you can do it anymore in the NBA.
I know.
So
it's scary. It's scary.
They're behind the times, maybe. And it is scary. How do you do it? Especially when you're not a destination. That's a whole nother thing. You know, when you're not a destination city or organization, which unfortunately you're not, you know, how do you make it even harder? So anyway, there's your Celtics NBA Minute. Right back to your calls after Big Jim Murray's update.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 Luxury Bowling Lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down, you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5. 95, the Sports Hub.
That's the beauty of this team this year. We're going to be very versatile. We can move people around, and they're going to do the job defensively. And that's something we have to do a better job. You know, I do believe that for how great we were in 18, we had our lapses defensively. 19, obviously, we sucked defensively. And, you know, last year, just watching from afar, the team was a step behind. So we have to be better defensively as a unit, and he's going to bring that to the equation every single day.
Alex Cora on Kiki Hernandez, Maz. That was your opening thought. What's your takeaway on that again?
Well, there's just something about Cora's voice, okay? I know this is really a small thing to latch on to, but there's something about Cora's voice and the way he speaks that I find reassuring this spring. That's all. And it just, they feel like they're the Red Sox again. Now, I don't know how good they're going to be. I hope that they're a competitive team and that, you know, they threaten for a playoff spot. But the fact that he's there out front talking about things like our defense really, you know, had lapses in 2018 and we sucked in 2019.
We sucked defensively.
Makes me feel like they're back where they're supposed to be. And yeah. You know, again, it was hard to take them seriously last year with Ron Renicki, Mike. And it's not his fault. But the whole thing got sort of derailed before it even started. And the fact that there is now a real manager there again makes me feel like there is at least the structure in place that needs to be in place.
We suck defensively.
And he's an interesting guy. Like, I think Cora's interesting.
Me too.
There's so few interesting baseball managers left, you know? Like, and I think he is worth listening to. And it's one of the few interesting things about the team. You know, which is kind of scary when you say it's your manager. You know, what buzz are you creating? Well, it's from your manager. It's not a good thing, but be that as it may, it is, you know, not many coaches or managers will say we sucked. And so, you know, he has that going for him. Back to your phones here. Chris in Maine on the Pats. What do you got, Chris?
I just want to talk about Murray's thing about Ryan Fitzpatrick. I know it sounds like a joke, but with him, you always have a puncher's chance. He would be a good person to mentor a draftee, and actually, he'd mouth off to Bill. Think about that. Don't you want to cover that?
I don't think he would.
Oh, you don't think?
No.
He plays with this kind of barely controlled rage. You don't think he'd push back if Bill treated him like he treated Brady?
Nope.
No.
Not one bit, because he knows Bill would put him on his ass in a heartbeat.
Yeah, he's a 38-year-old journeyman at this point. He'd be happy to get a gig. But I just think, like, there are legitimate pros to signing him. You keep all your draft picks. If you sign him for, like, 1 year, $9-10 million, whatever the hell it is, you keep all your draft picks. You got a lot of holes to fill, so that's a good thing. And I'm with the caller, too. Like, he'll make them just good enough to tolerate while you bring along someone else that you draft.
So, to me, that's Trubisky. I mean, he's going to be a free agent. He's not a draft, so you don't have to give up any draft picks there. And
yeah, but you'll have to give him, like, sort of real money, and I'm not doing that.
Do you think so?
Trubisky, yeah, because of how he was where he was drafted, his age. Like, people are still going to talk about that magic upside.
Well, I mean, he'll be more expensive than Fitzpatrick, that's, you know, for sure. But I don't know. I mean, he needs a market. You know, if there's another team that's willing to make him a starter, then, yeah, you'd have to compete with that team. But if you're it. And, you know, so, like, I'm all for not having to give anything up if it's going to be a holdover, sort of placeholder guy. I just want someone with more ceiling. I think there's a chance. You know, Trubisky's floor is lower than Fitzpatrick, for sure, but his ceiling's higher. And I'd rather, you know, see if Bill and they can catch lightning in the bottle and get something out of this guy.
Hey, yes, cheaper the better. You know how it works down there.
That's what it is. And Zoe was talking up Trubisky today like you read about. And we all know Zoe. He picks up on things. And so I think Trubisky is on their radar. Tony and Stoneham. Go ahead, Tony. You're up next with Felger and Mass.
Guys, how you doing? First of all, Newton's not going to be our quarterback this year, okay? So just forget about that. Yeah. And you know, drafting is a flip of the coin. You know, you get lucky, you don't get lucky. And obviously, Brady in the sixth round is a great example. And, you know, the other day when I called you, you cut me off. Because I said that you guys were not pro-Brady. Yes, you've been pro-Brady since January. Before that, all I heard from you, Felger, was how Brady was not a team player. He wasn't this, he wasn't that the last 2 years with
Patriots. All right, so why are we going back in history?
Well, the point is, because this year, when did a player ever give the last speech before going out to play the Super Bowl. Brady did that this year with Tampa Bay. He was the last one to talk in the locker room.
Okay, I'm sure that's happened before, Tony, but I'm not arguing with you.
Okay.
All right, hey, look, we settled it. Man, we came to some common ground. That's right. Brady, I'm not fighting that fight anymore. Brady went there and proved it. Shut everybody up. That's what it is. You go and you win that thing, it's over. So it's over. I've stood down. David in New Bedford. David, thanks for hanging on. Sorry I hung up on you before.
I was wondering what your thoughts are on the outdoor game coming up this weekend. Will it have the feel of the other outdoor games in the past?
Yeah, it'll probably kind of look slower and suckier, and it'll be a good little the game will be not quite a NHL quality. It feels, no matter how good they make the ice mass, it feels like those outdoor games are always a little slower and stickier, yeah. And the puck jumps, and it's just not the same quality of the actual hockey. But it really is. The New Year's Day game, and it's nice to sort of have on the TV in the corner of the room as a visual, like a golf tournament. Like, it's just sort of, it really is.
Makes good wallpaper.
A beautiful sort of shot is all that it is, and it's kind of sporty, and it's on, and so, like, I like these games. The Winter Classic, I think, is a home run just from that standpoint.
Well, not to like revisit something that that we did earlier in the week, but the visuals in this one are awesome. And so I'm not telling you I don't like the visuals at Notre Dame Stadium or at Fenway Park or some of the other places they've done it that I think have been cool. But there is something about the backdrop at Tahoe that the first time I saw it, I went, this is different. This is sort of like, there's a rustic element to it almost, that it's just, the whole thing is dynamite. I'm looking forward to it.
Cool.
It doesn't take much these days to get me eager to watch a game because there's just so little else to do. But this one does have me excited.
It's awesome.
Long commercial free segment is next. Don't go anywhere.
Boston's home for sports. Failure Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lanes, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Just a non-stop whirlpool of kerfuffle.
Kicking a hornet's nest every single day.
You gotta listen to believe it. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
You guys hit a high water mark with 30 assists against Toronto. Since then, it seems like your ball movement has just really slipped. What do you think is behind that?
No comment.
Very telling no comment, we think. That was earlier in the week. Can't remember after what. Maybe that was after the Phoenix loss on Sunday? Is that right? Get my games all mixed up. Whatever. It was really early in the week. And they had this great win against Toronto. where they came back off the road and spread the ball, and then they had two straight. Well, maybe it was the Washington loss. Whatever. It was one of those two bad losses to Detroit or Washington where the assists went way down, and Jaylen Brown's asked him. He says, no comment, which is very telling. And then we hear from Mike Gorman about tuning out the coach, and it sort of becomes obvious that they are – and, well, I mean, let's just play that real quick. Mike Gorman was on with Toucher and Rich during the week. Number one, Jimmy. Mike Gorman, number one on – have they tuned out the coach?
It was a failure to communicate. Whatever the coach was saying during the timeouts in the pregame wasn't getting through to guys. There's a tendency on the part of Jaylen and on the part of Jason to be a ball stopper. To have the ball come to them and then feel they have to go one-on-one on their band. It seems like a simple cure to say all you got to do is pass the ball, but those guys have to pass the ball, especially early in the game. They've got to involve other people and then let the game come to them later as it goes on. If they start to press early, then I think there's a tendency, I know there's a tendency, for the other guys to kind of stand around and watch on the offensive end of the court. And then at the end of the game, you look down and Jaylen's got 28 and Jason's got 28 and we lost by five. That's what I think has to change. And those two guys have to be, I agree with Scal on this, those two guys have to be the assist leaders on this team, as well as be the high scorers.
Okay, so I think between those two pieces of sound, I think it's clear that they've been on Tatum and Brown to share the ball, and those two are pushing back in one way, shape, or form. Maz, maybe they say, well, who do you want us to pass to? They all suck. We don't have anybody else to pass to. And when I pass it to it, it just goes between Grant Williams' legs. So what are we doing? But either way, there is a little bit of a tune-out factor, and there's a tug and pull there with Brown, Tatum, and the coach and how they want him to play. It's kind of obvious.
Yeah, I think those guys are in the middle right now. That's what I mean. And when I say in the middle, I mean, you know, they want to be superstar players because they're young. You know, they get their first contracts. But as you said, when you're their age still, the brand means everything and you're trying to establish your place in the league. So you know what? I want my 28. I'm going to get my 28. That's important to me right now. And there isn't any veteran leadership anymore. So now they have to lead and they're not ready to do it. This is something that's like, you know, you got to keep an eye on this. Over the next couple of years, if this thing starts becoming a treadmill and they're just running in place for 2 years, we all know what the answer is in the modern NBA player's mind now. And that player will say, well, got to go somewhere else. And that's what will happen.
So on one hand, I do think Tatum and Brown not ready, you know, to be the figurehead, you know, leader, you know, to be those guys. It's very rare for a player that young to be that guy. So it's nothing unusual that they're not ready, but I think they're not ready on one hand. On the other, they also have a point. Like, they're supposed to just keep kicking it out to Javonte Green all game. Like, I sort of understand the roster blows and the players around them, especially with these injuries, blow.
Yeah. On one hand, you can't blame them when they see what's around them.
So anyway,
yeah. And that part of it falls on age, right? Cause again, Teague and Thompson, I mean, what else can you point to? Those were the offseason acquisitions. Teague and Thompson. Teague has been horrendous. Like, I look at him and think he doesn't even belong in the league anymore. Thompson's been a little bit later, but there's been no appreciable upgrade there. And Bede torched him. Nokic torched him. Like, you know, those guys, in theory, Thompson was supposed to help the interior defense and the toughness, and this team has bad interior defense and is not tough.
Okay, back to your phones, as promised. Eric in Maine. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, I'm just calling about Kemba Walker. I honestly think it stems from Kemba. I mean, he's a $35 million point guard that we're not getting a lot of production out of. And a lot of people think that Danny Ainge is going to make this big splash during the trade deadline. But, I mean, I don't see any move that he's going to make that is going to bring us from a 500 team to a championship contender.
Nope. I mean, I think he'll get better when all the, you know, if Kemba Walker can return to what he was, close to what he was in the first half of last year, and Smart comes back and you've got a fully functioning team, I think you're a second round team at best. I sort of think that's what you are now at best. If those things don't happen, you could be one and done. Wouldn't surprise me if your seeding falls to a spot where you face Philly in the first round and lose or something like that. And so that's what I think you are. So, and there's no splash coming. There's no path to a splash in the short term. You don't have any valuable assets. You have no more lottery picks left. And the first-round picks you've just recently made, Langford and Nesmith, probably aren't worth a damn. So no one's going to take on Walker's contract. That's not worth anything. And what's Marcus Smart going to get you? I mean, there's no splash coming, folks. I mean, that you're going to have to wait a couple of years and hope that these young guys develop into something, or Kemba Walker's money comes off the books, and then you can add something. It's you're a couple of years away from adding that next thing. We've got Doug in Oak Square on the Celts. Go ahead, Doug.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Go ahead.
So just want to talk about the Celtics. The biggest problem with the Celtics, to quote one of the callers that used to call in about the Patriots wide receiver core, there's way too many little pieces on the team. That's the problem. I mean, it just is. I mean, we could put a starting five out there. I'm 5'11". We could have like a starting five of my size out there. That's our problem.
Well, I'm telling you. I mean, at least Pritchard can play. But you mentioned before, Tremont Waters and Carson Edwards. There aren't many guys in the league that look like that, Mass.
And add Grant Williams on there too. I mean, he's a little bit bigger in terms of length.
No, but
some of these guys, yeah, those guys are little.
And luscious ass, Murray, right?
Oh, so juicy. Yes.
The juicy ass. Yeah. Like they got the big juicy rump, but they're squat like we're not doing freaking body squats here. You're playing in the NBA. So there is some size there. Let me get Bo and Saugus real quick before we bring on Gasper. Go ahead, Bo.
Hey, my quick point. I understand that the Celtics won a bunch of championships against the Fort Wayne Lakers or whatever, but don't forget, the Bruins were in the league for about 100 years. 50 years of that were the six teams, and they've only won six Stanley Cups. And true. As a 58-year-old, you know, they've only won the Cup three times and have had more finals futility than any other team in this city. Bad ownership. The team is a losing franchise.
They are. They're kind of losery. They are. There's no doubt about it. I've always said that. They're choky, losery, loserish. Just there to sort of rip your guts out. I think they do have the most Stanley Cup Finals losses in history. I think that's true. I was looking at that.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
The other day, I think they've lost the Finals more than any team in the history of the league, which feels just about right. You know, they very rarely completely suck. And they're usually competitive, and they're a good regular season team, have been for decades, still are, but they're just still not elite, and there's just something loserish about them. I wouldn't call them total losers, but they're loserish. Yep, definitely. That's why
they're not the Tampa Bay Bucks.
You expect to be disappointed by them.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of what sucks you in, you know? Just have that sort of thing where you get there and you get there and you get there and you know they're just going to rip your heart out and blow it. And that's sort of what they are. Yeah, no, I wouldn't dispute that one single bit. And we're right back there again. Trust me. Oh, we'll have all sorts of fun in the regular season. Just wait. Wait for that big game deep in the playoffs. It's coming. Big Jim Murray has an update for you. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we come back. We've got Gasper with more on his thoughts on the state of the Celtics. Don't go anywhere.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
It's Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.